Hey, DBS.
Connected to CNN Network.
Kind of things, so it's going to be an interesting day for me anyhow. Well, that's good. Hopefully this one works out well. A little bit better than the last one, maybe. We do the same stuff. They go with our safety team in HR pretty much their entire first day, and you don't see them until the next day. Well, Sean, I hope you're able to make a really good omelet, because usually the payoff is good when you have to break those eggs, but sometimes it leads to a little bit more work, but yeah, I'm sure you guys plan for it, and it'll all go well. Well, that's just it. We really can't plan for this, so we have to take a network down. We're moving an entire network system onto a network, a different network, and it's a PLC network. So, you know, it's not computer network, you know, basically. I mean, it is, but it's a control network. And so we put in all new fiber and all new switches and everything at every location, and then we got a floor by floor, but you know, step by step transfer all the stuff to the new switches. So when we do that, there's going to be this downtime that has got to be planned for. And we've had problems in the past where, you know, when we start taking things down because everything talks to everything else, it starts, you know, whack-a-moleing problems in other parts of the facility. So it's like, nervous. Just remember, it's always BNS.
Did not finish?
Why would it be BNS?
Yeah, that's always nerve-wracking when everything has the possibility of cascading, and it's never fun. Hopefully, it all goes well. I'm sure everything's in place to get it done correctly.
I'm pretty sure I was confident it's you. I'm hoping we're fine. So we'll see. Anywho, gonna be an interesting day. At least the first bit when we discover just what's ahead of us.
Those are my favorite type of projects: the uncertainty of downtime. Is it gonna come back, or are we gonna be chasing our tail?
Sean, I'm just trying to hype you up and be confident for you. Because it doesn't sound like you're very confident. So somebody's got to be confident for you and get you ready to get in for the day.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it's psychologically, it's the expect the worst and then be pleasantly surprised if it's anything less than the worst. it's kind of like your favorite sports team. Oh, they don't have a chance. You know, secretly you want them to win. But you're just, they're done. I don't get a chance. And then if they don't, you're not just, you know, you said, yeah, I knew it. And if they win, then you're elated. So it's kind of like that, sort of.
Glass half empty kind of guy.
Yep, I know how that goes. If I was in your shoes, I wouldn't be sounding this optimistic. So don't worry.
Anyhow, Dakota, yeah, I'm generally optimistic about things. I generally am, but it's just a very long story to get to this where we are right now. It's all part of this work they're doing over by me stuff. It's like, road pinches right. There's a guy hanging out in the right lane, and it was closing down on him. I had to get over to make up for his inability to recognize his lane was ending. But I digress. Oh, where's coffee this morning? 6:52, I'm right on schedule. Yesterday I got an iced coffee. I think today, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I'm trying to avoid all the stuff with calories. I've got a family reunion pool party in August. Then I got to try to get less disgusting.
I just accepted fate. I think I'm going to guarantee that it's going to rain today by washing my vehicle. And, Sean, I got a Starbucks iced coffee yesterday. It was so bad. I mean, I did walk away from it for like 30 minutes, so that might have been part of the problem, but it just, it was terrible.
Well, that's because you guys get all the stuff in it. If you just get a black iced coffee or a nitro brew, it's delicious. But it is more delicious when you put sweet cream and all the other fun stuff in it, too.
Now, I don't generally do that. I did, Dakota turned me on to those salted caramel cold brews or whatever it was, where they top it with that layer of that salted caramel stuff, and I looked at the calorie content. It wasn't horrible, but I shouldn't be having it anyhow. And those are pretty good, but I don't need it. Yesterday's was just a straight-up cold brew, and I do like nitro brews. I do like those. So maybe I'll do that. I haven't had a nitro brew in a while. It's no sugar, no calories, but something about the way the nitrogen infuses or whatever gives it, I wouldn't call it a sweetness, but they are good.
I think I'm going to do just that. I've got a vendor sent me a $100 Starbucks gift card, so I've been living large.
You know, I have a coffee right now, but there might be an afternoon coffee in store, and it might be a nitro cold brew. That's when I really like those cold brews. On a warm day, as an afternoon coffee, oh, they're delicious. You get to drive home with the windows down and an iced coffee.
Yep, that's what I'm going to do. Man, there is a Ford F-150 next to me that has rusted out so bad. And it doesn't look that old. I don't know what year it is. I'm not good at judging truck years. I mean, it might be a lot older than I think, but good grief. All the rockers have completely rotted out. You can see the fender wells, you know, clearly, the tailgate, the bumpers, everything, just all rotted out.
That's something I expect out of a Gen 3 Ram.
That is totally something to expect out of a Ram.
Yeah, I don't know. I was a little disappointed. I got the little Ford Escape, and there's like, on the bottom of the door, there's, like, the metal is folded over on itself, so there's, a seam on the inside. And along that seam, I noticed the little surface rust. And, really? Things, what is it, a 23? I guess it's 3 years old, 22, 23, so 3-4 years old. It's only got like 26,000 miles on it. Like already seeing rust kind of ticks me off. I don't know if I'm going to be looking to get rid of it. I keep looking. You're right, Dakota. A Colorado is probably about the perfect vehicle for me. I'd have to go test drive one and see if Andrea can get in and out of it conveniently. But there just really isn't, that little Escape's got that damn towing package, and, it makes it almost the perfect grocery getter for us. And I just can't find anything quite like it.
You're connected to CMN Network.
So I don't know if this will work. I mean, you have the warranty, so it should, but I had a 2011 Buick Regal Turbo. And the paint warranty was, forgot how long, but it was still within it. And I had the same thing, driver's side door. You could tell it got hit and they were re-skinned the door and they just put the insulation back in it because it sounded hollow. It was a stuff I pre-owned. And it was rusting in the same spot, right on that seam. So I took it back to the dealer. I said, this is absolute bullcrap. It's certified pre-owned. Like, this is under paint warranty. Here's your warranty. And they actually took it and they had the whole door repainted. So, I mean, you can get it fixed. They should honor that. But, yeah, you know, if I didn't have the family in tow that I do, I'd probably be driving a Colorado. I think the new ones look freaking awesome, especially the Trail Bosses. Canyons, too, if you want a little snazzier GMT. But they're not that high. If you get the off-roady ones, they get up there quite a bit. I mean, my buddy at work's got a ZR2, and it sits up. It's got more ground clearance than my truck does. But the standard, like, LTEs and all that, they're not bad. If you get some Nerf bars, it's not terrible. But, yeah, you definitely got to go see if you can get it out easily and see if you like it. I imagine you're going to have the same interior room, but then you have the luxury of throwing crap in a bed under a tonneau cover and a nice hitch that you can tow. I think those are, like, 5,000 or 6,000 pounds.
Those are sharp little trucks. I've been looking, loosely looking at, I want like a 90s F-150, or like the square body, or a old Land Cruiser, or a, the whatchamacallit, the 4Runners, the old ones are too small. Interior-wise, but one of those would be a lot of fun to drive around.
Yeah, the Land Cruiser, Land Rover. Yeah, that's a cool idea. Ah, crap. Construction on Grossbeck, making it hard to see the oncoming traffic here this morning. But yeah, I got to take one for a test drive and see Dakota. I got to see if the Colorado would work for us, and go to from there. That's useful towing. This one, or just not this one, but my Escape, it's 3,500 pounds, which isn't horrible. That's better than most little cars. You know, it's enough to, there's a number of, you know, my utility trailer, which is about 800 pounds, you know, can handle just about a perfect amount to get me up to that 3,500. You know, and, you know, it makes it fairly useful. And, you know, it's not a great amount, but, you know, there's campers that you can pull, even hard shell. You got to be very selective about what you can pull. But there are, you know, and of course a pop-up easy, right? But, 3,500 is enough to pull a few things. Not ideal, but, you know, it ain't 1,500 pounds, and but 5,000, you know, that's actually quite doable. There's a lot you can do with $5,000. You know, you're not gonna pull a big camper, but you could get a nice one that you could pull with 5,000. I understand there's more to it than that. There's the surface area, the wind, you know, the wind surface area, and you know, and other various things to consider, but. You know, and of course, then you got to figure, you know, the trailer plus, you know, load it up with water and, you know, and gear and stuff like that. You got to calculate all that, but still, $5,000 would be pretty luxurious for me, anyhow.
Yeah, one thing I can say, all the trailer weights are dry weight, and then you really want to just calculate off the gross vehicle weight of the trailer, but... I've towed, what was my camper, like 7,700 pounds with a truck that was rated for 9,000 pounds or 9,400 pounds, and it didn't feel great. Like, wind sucked, highway sucked. I mean, it was doable even with the weight distribution hitch, but just my old, I always tell people, just because it says it can tow 9,000 does not mean you should. Same thing with that, right? Like, that's a smaller truck, smaller brakes, and then you got a wind sail behind you. Now, with now... I'm not trying to intimidate you, because a micro is probably going to be fine. That wind footprint's nothing compared to, like, a 30-foot box trailer. But I always tell people, you know, give yourself a nice cushion on that rating. So if it's rated for 5, I'd be comfortable towing like a 3,000-pound ultralight or something like that, like a single axle.
Guys, I am pulling up at the office here a few minutes late, so I got to boogie in and get going. So I will catch up with you guys either this afternoon or tomorrow. K-A-R-U-H, everybody have a good day.
All righty, we'll catch you on the drive home, maybe. Take it easy, Anthony. I'm well. Can I have a Grande Nitro Cold Brew?
Yes, it's black.
Yes.
That's it?
All righty, see ya. Okie dokie. Anywho, yeah, that's what I figured. You know, my truck will do 3,500, and, you know, it's good for my utility trailer and, of course, my bike rack and my HF antennas and stuff. And I don't know if you've ever seen my HF antenna. I'm afraid to show it to you. You're going to go, oh, my God, squirrel. But, you know, as far as the trailers go, the ones I've been looking at, you know, it's 3,500 pounds, but I've been looking at things, you know, 2,000 pounds. So there's not a lot. Pop-ups, there's a few hard shells that you can get in that realm, but they're very, very plain. I don't, you know, I don't need a bathroom. I just need a place to flop and, you know, very, very minimal. So I can almost pull one of them things just with basically like a bed on wheels, you know, just to keep you from having to set up a tent and tear down a tent and worry about the rain. That's about all I would need for what I plan.
I do want to see that antenna because I was looking at screwdrivers. I was going to order an ATAS, but I remembered how many issues I had with a ground plane on my bed mount, so I decided against it. I just ordered a spark plug transformer. I think I showed you that a long time ago. And I'm going to make it a 10-foot half wave with, it'll be 10 to 40, but I'm going to put an 80-meter link on it. So if I want 80, I can do 80. But I don't have to roll out 130-something feet every time I use the antenna. But yeah, no, I want to look at that thing because it's kind of, for what I want, like just plug it in and kind of forget about it. If I want to play radio, that's sweet. And yeah, you can get yourself a little teardrop or like a little, like a 12-foot box trailer. They've got pretty sweet ones too, like even if you don't want it. A lot of them come with like outdoor showers and stuff, so you got some water on board if you need it. But I agree. We had the old Taj Mahal, which was super nice. Like, it came in handy a lot when we were remodeling the house, but it was a pain in the butt every time we went camping, just prepping it and putting it back away, like, draining everything and dumping. And then, you know, you had systems in there you had to worry about, like a fridge that ran on LP or electrical. You had a furnace, like, just AC, like, things that you always had to maintain, so it was a huge pain in the butt. And that's why we ultimately got rid of it. It was just, like, it's no cheaper to go camping than it is to just go get a hotel somewhere, which, don't get me wrong, I would rather be in a camper, but, and there's the amount of work that went into prepping for that weekend. It was almost not enjoyable anymore. So, in my opinion, the simpler you can make it, the better.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, there's, you know, I like the idea, you know, I don't like an idea of having a bathroom. Well, I mean, it's nice and everything like that, but I just don't feel like all the maintenance and everything that it brings with it. I'll, you know, go somewhere that has a bathroom, like the campground that does. I'll use, you know, like my Planet Fitness, you know, their Planet Fitness is everywhere. There's, you know, there's thousands of them everywhere you travel in every direction. And so you can always find one of those that's got, you know, full bathroom with showers and everything like that. So that would actually be part of my boondocking plan if I was going to do, you know, go somewhere. But basically, I just want to be able to go, like, you know, let's say Dayton, you know, just go down to Dayton and just have a place to flop, you know. And, you know, if one, you know, if you could do a little bit of cooking outside of it, you know, it's like, I just don't need much. Need, you know, a bed, heat, shelter from the rain that I don't have to set up and tear down all the time. So if I can open a door, flop and sleep, you know, and be relatively comfortable. That's all I need out of one. Basically a tent on wheels, you know, a hard shell tent on wheels. But it's a thing for retirement. I don't have much plans for it, you know, right now. And I had more plans for something like that when my kids were in Houston. You know, just while I was traveling down, I like to drive until I'm done driving, and then I just sleep, and then get back on the road and just drive. When I'm driving, I can power drive a lot, but I drive from sunup to sundown, and I don't have much use for a motel. It almost seems like a waste. You pay all that money, and all I do is just walk in, sleep, get up, and leave.
Plus, you're sleeping in some disgusting motel or cheap hotel just to, like you said, catch 4 or 5 hours and get back on the road. Versus, the other thing, too, is you got more room. It's like a storage unit on wheels when you're driving to wherever you're going. That was the thing we loved the most. We could cram it full of crap, get to the site, unload everything, and it's like we had our own little portable house, and we were comfortable as could be. But, yeah, I look forward to getting back to that. It's a ton of fun. The feeling of independence of, like, I can literally go anywhere right now and be comfortable is awesome. It's just too hard with little kids right now. But, yeah, I look forward to it. I want to do the same thing. I want a very, very minimalistic trailer like that for really my wife and I to just get away for a weekend or whatever and pawn the kids off with grandma and grandpa. But we'll see if that ever starts to happen.
I know for a hot minute I was looking at Class A's, you know, the whole slide outs, all that stuff, and, you know, when I was thinking about maybe spending some time in it down in Texas, winter months, run down there, stay not far. There was actually a place where you could stay, where, you know, you had a pad and hookups and all that stuff, just a mile from my kids. And I think that'd be kind of cool, but I don't know. Everybody I know that's got them big Class A's with the slide-outs, they're constantly messing with them. There's just always problems with them slide-outs and the jacks and the this, that, and the other. It's like, it seems to me, they're like boats, you know. You know, bust out another 1,000, and happiest days, they buy the day itself. They're just too big, you know, and cumbersome, and I don't know. But I did think about it for a hot minute, and I'm not saying I've completely ruled it out, but I think I like the minimalist idea much better.
They're like everything else. They're slapped together as fast as they can, as cheap and light as they can make them. And if you don't use them, I think they just sit there and rot. Like, the seals go bad and all that crap. Now, if you're retired and you're using it quite a bit, I mean, there's full-time RVers all over the country, and they don't really have issues. We used to watch every YouTube channel under the sun about RV people and travelers and all that crap. They use travel trailers and whatnot, and they didn't really have mechanical issues with the campers. I mean, they did, but not to that degree of, you know, seals going bad and whatnot, slides breaking. But, again, I'm sure if you get what you pay for, too. There's economical brands, and then there's the bougie, you can spend $100,000 on a trailer brand.
So did you ever go down that rabbit hole where you're looking at the really, really cool ones, like the ones that have a car underneath them? You know, it's usually some sort of like a Lamborghini or something like that. You know, it's like million-dollar motorhomes. It's crazy. All right, I just pulled up here at work. I'll listen out and then catch you from inside in a bit. W8FU after yours.
Perfect timing. I am backing in my spot as we speak, so I will catch you maybe this afternoon. Have a good day at 8DBF.
Connected to CMN Network.
Hey,
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Whiskey, Bravo 8, Papa, Papa, Bravo. This is KF8FGS. Do you copy? Whiskey, Bravo 8, Papa, Papa, Bravo. Do you copy KF8FGS? Can I get a response from WB8PPV, Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Golf, Sierra, monitoring.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Getting chilly. What the heck?
I don't know.
I don't know if it's a CMN network.
Well, it wouldn't be an optical. If it's a, I don't know if it's a thermal illusion, but it seemed like it was warmer when I left for work than it is now.
So.
You're not quite making it.
How about now? Is this better?
It's his.
Yeah, I visited your sheets down at, what is it, 12 and a half in Van Dyke? Something like that?
Yeah, what's their gas prices today?
Same as everybody else, $4.49. And I picked up some street tacos.
Oh, from Sheets? How are they?
They're pretty good. I got the shredded chicken one. They got all kinds. They got the bean. They got beans. I haven't tried the other ones. I always get the shredded chicken because I'm not adventurous enough. But, no, the shredded chicken one's good.
All right. Well, seeing as it's Cinco de Mayo, I guess that we're better than Sheets to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. I went to Mi Pueblo. Got some street tacos myself.
Mi Pueblo. Is that a real place or is that your house?
No, real place. It's at, you know where the Dunkin' Donuts is at Cass and Grosbeck? It's like the next building south of there, pretty much. It's so it's just south of Cass on Grosbeck. Called Mi Pueblo Express, actually. Their main restaurant is in Mexican Town. And then they opened up this one, which is Mi Pueblo Express. You can go in there and sit down, but it's like a, you know, it's smaller. And they have some outdoor seating and some indoor seating. And food's good. The real deal.
Nice. I'll have to try it. Yeah, the reason why I'm not making it into the repeaters is my FTX1. I've got the FTX1 in my car right now, and the battery that it was hooked up to died, but the internal battery still has juice, so I got 6 watts out.
6 watts, baby cakes. There you go. Hey, do you see that new rumor of the ICOM X? -026.
I heard that something was coming out, but I have not seen anything about it. What do you know? What is in the know?
Looks like they're going for a 7100 replacement. So it's going to be their detachable head, mobile 100-watt mobile rig. You know, they have the 706 and the 7300 and the 7100 for a number of years, and now it looks like the newest one is going to be this new X086. I don't know how accurate the pictures are online. It seems some people say they're AI, some people say they're mock-ups, but they're all the same, and it's very 7300, 705, 9700-esque. It has a very similar look to their, you know, current ergonomics and manual of arms, if you will. Spectrum display, HF, 6.2 and 4.32, 100-watt. It looks very intriguing. I'm not going to say, it depends on how much they cost, but I'm not going to say I'm going to get one, but I'm probably going to get one.
Yeah, that'll be nice. I know a lot of people like the 7100, and then they kind of silently discontinued it. They didn't really say they discontinued it, but they, like, all of a sudden they weren't available anymore. But, yeah, the remote head, you can, I think, what's his name, our buddy Doug, ADADB, he has one, and he, like, ran a really long Ethernet cord, if I remember back in the day when he was talking to Professor Don.
Yeah, I bought a big tuner off of a guy who was running one of those. He had the control head on his, you know, he had network jacks in his house, and he could plug it in, you know, in a couple of different places. But when I saw it, it was on his dining room island slash bar. You know, he had like a big island in the, you know, that where you could pull up to the kitchen and sit on a stool, you know. And he had it there, plugged into the, jacked in the wall. That cable ran down into his basement and over to his, the body of it. And then he had all that going to a, I think it was at a KP500 amp and the auto tuner so that it was all automated. So he had his little HF setup right there that he could, plug in anywhere in the house and just have that little 7100 control head. And so, you know, this brings, you know, color, and it's got kind of a, it looks to me to have kind of like a 5100 form factor. I just look it up. It's the X-026. I don't know if that's a, you know, that doesn't match their numbering. I wonder if that's just what they're giving it until it gets a IC dash number of some sort.
Yeah, and I'm gonna guess it's going to be revealed at Dayton, so we'll find out what the actual specs are and stuff. So Dayton's got to be coming up soon, right? Like a week or two?
I think I heard weekend after next, but don't hold me to it. Yeah, that's the thought, is that, or that's what I've been told. They're already, what's the big place out of England that always is, you know, big on reviews and new equipment and all that stuff? Anyhow, they're already taking deposits, you know, for get in line kind of thing. I haven't noticed any of the stateside dealers doing that. So, but it's solid enough to be. It's a real thing. It'll be announced in Dayton, and, you know, so. Now, I know some of the manufacturers have announced things that took quite a while before they actually manifest. So just because they introduce it and have it doesn't mean that it's going to be available on, you know, in the coming weeks. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's Moonraker. That's where I bought my scanner from. I bought the European version because it was like $200 cheaper, and then I put the U.S. firmware on it, and it worked just fine. But, yeah, Moonraker's got this other, they got like a 70-watt, like, it looks like a desktop radio, because I don't think you could mount it in a car, but it was like 70-watt VHF UHF, and it was like retro. It had like the retro LEDs on it.
No, it was like two names, like, you know, two last names, like, you know, Baker and Logan or something like that. It's a big famous place out of England, and I don't know, I'm totally taking a wag, I can't remember. But not Moonraker, I know them, right? But anywho, they're legit nonetheless. No, it checks the boxes for me. I love my 7000, absolutely adore it. And you know, but my 705 with the fish finder and all that, I was trying to find a way to get that in my car. I said, boy, I'd really love to run that, but I'm going to need an intermediate amp because I run an amp. And I got an ALS 500, and so that, you know, you need, you know, 40 or 50 to drive that to full output. And you can't quite get that out of the 705, so there you are. You know, you got quite a mess if you want to run the 705. And, you know, now this is the answer to my prayers. It's, you know, it's like, you know, it looks like it's going to be everything I want, you know, and then 100 watt to boot, so I can use that to automatic band switch and plenty of drive for the ALS 500. So, yeah, looking forward to it. And we'll see. But I'll have some stuff for sale that should at least get me some of the money back. Got an IC7000, I got a TS480, you know, sell both of those and maybe have enough scratch to get one, or get, you know, lion's share of it anyhow. We'll see. Who knows, maybe it'll be a $2,000 mobile, in which case I'll go, eh.
I think it'll be around the price of the FTX one, so yeah, probably around $1,800 or something like that. I mean, I like what, it took me like a year before I liked my FTX one. Now I've got the separation. I've been like piecing things together. I've been I bought just the Optima when it first came out, and then like they had a separation cable, and I bought that, and then there was you know, the cage, I bought that, and then I found an aftermarket GPS module. I pieced it together. And so right now I've got the big Optima unit is underneath the seat, and I've got cables running to the radio, and I got a little cup mount. And then I can take it out of the car and just bring it in the house and just use the 6-watt part.
Yeah, I thought they were real clever with that thing. I think they did it right. You know, I think ICOM, I love my ICOM 705, don't get me wrong, but the battery, you know, just utilizing handheld battery packs, I don't think was a smart move. I like what Yaesu did there. And the brilliant part is how it's stackable, you know, so, you know, the tuner, the amp, the 100-watt PA, it's all in that form factor that snaps on the back, from what I understand. And, you know, that's they hit the nail on the head with that. Now, I don't know if it's, you know, perfect, but I understand, you know, the battery snaps on the back, and if you want a tuner, you snap off the battery, snap on the tuner, and snap on the battery, and boom, now you got a tuner, you know. I don't know how, to what degree, obviously, if you've got to run the Optima, you know, back end, the 100-watt back end, you don't want a battery. I'm not even sure if that comes with a tuner or the tuner still works with it. I don't know how that all works, but anyhow, the concept is the right direction, if not the right solution.
Yeah, the little base unit, the Optima box, as we'll call it, it's basically a HF amp for 100, HF and 6 meter, 100, and then it's 50-watt VHF and 35-watt UHF. And the tuner, I mean, obviously the tuner only works on HF, but I've got the ATAS. I invested in the ATAS antenna, and so I have that on a mag mount. I just put it on the roof of the car, and press one button, tune the band. Obviously, I'm not going to be driving around with it, but it's similar to your that thing you've got. Man, I forgot what it's called. The Tar Heel.
Yeah, it's a you know, a screwdriver antenna. So yeah, there you go. Very cool. No, I just good you know, good move by them. I think they took that 705 concept and kind of like, you know, perfected it in a few ways. But I love my 705. I won't get rid of it. You know, it's you know, that's my radio for mostly. I use it as a receiver or as you know. You know, I can use it for plenty else, but that's you know, it's, I can put it out of battery and take it anywhere and use it as a shortwave receiver. Use it bedside. I can use it out in the backyard. Listen to a ball game. I can use it in my shack as a second receiver for my 7300. You know, it's definitely a great radio. But we'll see what this new one is. This new one isn't going to lend itself to that. It's definitely, you know, there's a trunk unit and there's a head unit, and you know, it's not, you know, it's 100 watt all the time, you know, and no battery option. It's a mobile. It's not designed to be you know, anything like the 705 or the Optima or anything like that. So, but that's exactly what I want. I have not. This is the longest I have not had an HF in my car, and I'm like 75% there. I got it all wired and everything. The radio is actually in the car, so I could literally have that thing back online in you know, probably 30 minutes. And I haven't, because I stopped doing my trip to Texas, and so it hasn't been as pressing to get it running. And just, you know, weeks turn into months, you know, and then next thing you know, here it's been. I've had this car a few years now, and I don't have HF in it. First car I haven't had HF in 15 years. That's usually the first thing I do, man. Within a couple month or so, to get in my car, my HF setup's in it, installed, and I haven't done it yet. I'm like, darn it, what's holding me up? So maybe this is something else will be incentive.
KF8S, yeah. There was a thought there. Oh, yeah, no, and I think with the solar cycle kind of winding down, I think ICOM's starting to, like, think forward. It's like, well, now it's time to put our mobile out because people are going to need to use more power. So, yeah, it makes sense that they do it this way. And they can still sell the 705, so they don't need to replace it.
Yeah, everything's moving to that basic, form factor, you know. And they ran, you know, the one that started with, like, the 756 and a few others. They had that for a while, and then they kind of sharpened everything up a little bit, gave it a facelift, and kind of, and now everything's got that. I look at that 7300 Mark II, and I think, is it worth it, you know? And it's just like, I couldn't justify it, you know. I don't know what the heck a 7300 would go for today, straight up, you know, and I just think you'd take a real beating on it, and, you know, and to what? To get a CW decoder and a HDMI output. I don't need either one. So it's like, you know, do I take the beating on the 7300 and then, you know, and then pay the fiddler for the Mark II for, you know, a few items that just aren't that important to me at this point? So I'm gonna hunker down with the 7300 for a while. But yeah, it's that same, you know, form factor, 9700, 705, 7300, 7150, you know, and even a 7760 has a bit of that whole thing going on.
Yeah, if I remember, Greg bought a 7300 Mark II, and he brought it to, he was at Bald Mountain yesterday, and he used it for POTA. And he likes it. You know, the nice thing about that is you can use that iPad app, iPhone app, where you have that remote control, like, waterfall thing. I'm not sure how it works with, because I don't think it's got Wi-Fi in it. I don't know how he did that, so I'd have to ask him about that. But maybe it does have Wi-Fi built into it. but if the 7100, like, follows suit with all that, you'd be able to get that as well. So then, yeah, you wouldn't need that, but... it's just kind of cool to have your iPad and, you know, remote control into it. And the guy made the Flex radio software. He's the one that made it for the ICOM. So, you know, obviously it's not a Flex, but he, you know, the same guy just doing the design and all that stuff.
Well, one thing's for certain, it's a good time to be playing radio. There's a lot of cool radios. I mean, the radios were cool back when we were younger and first getting into it. Radios were still cool. They were just different cool. You know, well, our expectations were a lot different. Nowadays, man, you know, you want everything. Back then, just trying to think. Early 90s, what would have been state-of-the-art? I don't even know. Lost track. I know the 80s. I remember a few of the radios back then. There were some really cool ones. But, God, these radios now, they just blow them out of the water with features and performance and everything. It's amazing. Good time to play radio, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I want to see them put free DV in the, you know, built into the radio so you don't have to hook your computer up. That would be cool. Can you imagine that? That's the new sideband of the era.
Okay, yeah. There's the birthday boy. Are you sitting around in your birthday suit?
If I was, I wouldn't admit it. How's it going?
Just waiting for the repeater. I'm going to let you two talk because I want to chow on this these tacos, so I'll step aside. KF8S. Hello, Phil.
Yeah, actually, Dave, I want to talk to you. You're kind of a pie star hotspot aficionado, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know about aficionado, but what trouble are you having?
Hold on, I'm getting a phone call here. You won't hear my radio for some reason. Oh, hold on, it's a birthday wish here. I'll get back, go ahead and eat your tacos, I'll get back to you. Okay, Pierre.
So I'll tell you what we talked about this. And so he's, but I'm going to let you get your tacos, but basically in a nutshell, you know, we covered the offset thing. He's checked the frequency and offset and all that stuff. But for some reason, he's still not able to access his node on DMR with, and he thinks it's a setting or something. So you know, the RF part, he believes, is not the issue. He's wondering if there's some sort of setting or something. All right, anyhow, eat your tacos. I apologize. I had no idea. You said you went there and got tacos. I had no idea you were sitting there looking at them. Eat. W8FU.
Oh, it's okay. I was driving up until I said I'm going to eat my tacos, so now I'm parked waiting for my kids.
Okay, you still there, Dave?
He's eating tacos! Yeah, I'm standing by.
Well,
I don't know, which radio are you having trouble with? Is it all of them?
Call when you're done with your tacos.
Oh, we doubled. Which radio is it? Is it all of them?
Well, I've only got one DMR handheld here in the house. I had the mobile one here that I thought was working well, but that's in the car now, so I can't really test that.
Well, I know there was a guy on MI5. You probably heard him talk, N6WY. He also has an 890 and was having trouble with his hotspot. So I'm wondering if there's something related to that.
Oh, it could be. You know, one thing I did do, I went and just checking the frequency I put on my monitor, and when I keyed up, it kind of drifted a bit.
Now, I've been lucky with mine. My 890 has been solid, and I haven't had any trouble with it. And the 890 works on the repeater, right? Because that was exactly the same thing, too, because he was able to use the 890 on the Mount Clemens repeater, and it was fine. It was just his hot spot that wasn't liking it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any problems with the analog or even the NXDN. Hold on a second. I'm turning it on right now. Shouldn't have an issue here, but I'm also having an issue with the dashboard itself. For some reason, it was connected to the Brandmeister, but now it's, wait a minute, what's it doing now? The network status is yellow instead of green. It's not red, it's not green, but it's yellow. The DMR net is yellow. Do you know what that means?
Connected to CMN network.
Sounds like it might be trying. Is Brandmeister the only network that you got defined on there?
Yeah. Hold on, I'm going to throw this on this frequency here. Hold on. Test 1, 2. Yeah, so it's getting in just fine. Of course, I'm sitting under the antenna right now.
Yeah, it's so weird that people are having trouble with the anytones. I'd like to see if it's, it's too bad you don't have another DMR radio to test it with, because I would be really curious if, like, you had a DM32 or something. Now, I know people that have the DM32s that are having the same problem, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I got lucky, because I have had no problems with mine, and same with the open spot.
So you think it's just with the hot spot that's been trouble, or actually, I don't know if I can hit a repeater.
radio with a hook to the outside antenna. Let's see, what's the closest DMR machine to me?
Probably the one in Detroit, maybe. Well, I don't know. Another thing to check, in the code plug, you know how you go into the channel for what you had it configured? There's all kinds of weird settings, like DMR repeater and simplex, and I wonder if it's one of those boxes as well.
Well, that's what I was wondering, too, because I've got a duplex. Oh, wait a minute. I just thought of something here. I've got a duplex head on this thing. I wonder if I have any issue with that. Well, it should be UL. Yeah, no, that should be fine. Okay, so it's set up like a repeater. Got a separate receive and transfer frequency, and I've tried both setting the channel on the Anytone to both repeat and simplex. And then there's the, talk, transmit, allow. I've always had that at different color code, it's always seemed to work before. So, that's my question, is do I have a problem with one of those settings?
Yeah, and I don't have my computer with me. Otherwise, I could look to tell you what I got. But if you grab the one that the ARPSC folks have, I think they have a Anytone code plug. Maybe they only have DM32, but there might be one on their site that you can grab from them.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I've got that in my system. I should be able to hit that handheld. Let's see here. ARPSC. Let's see if I can hit this. Hold on.
EEEE. Just chiming in here. I'm not too familiar with those hotspots, but you mentioned color code. And I know enough about DMR to know that the color codes need to match.
Yeah, the color codes match. That's not the issue.
Make sure your Brandmeister master is set to US3104.
Yep, got that too. But for some reason it's not, it shows my node is online, but on the dashboard it says, except the DMR net is yellow instead of green. So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, you might, have you tried, so WPSD is the, the one that we all kind of like migrated to. Have you tried going back to like PiStar? Because I've heard WPSD has been having some kind of quality control issues. At least I know mine. I have to reboot it every, week. Otherwise, it's, stuck there.
No, I'm on the Stone PiStar. I tried PSD, too. I didn't care for it. I went back to PiStar.
Well, you're trying everything I would try.
Oh, yeah. I thought you'd say, oh, you idiot, you forgot this. I would go, oh, no. But, unfortunately, I've tried everything I can. Let's see, now it's showing my desk. Brandmeister's showing my nodes offline. Weird. He was showing it online before. Well, if all else fails, let's try doing a power cycle. See what happens there.
The universe is telling you need to hook up,
maybe your router DMR repeater is blocking you. Whatever port
hotspot.
Or
just configure it once.
Hotspot's cracking.
Get it working.
You guys doubled. Couldn't understand either one of you. Dave, go ahead.
I was just joking that the universe is telling you you need to put up your own DMR repeater.
No. It's not going to happen. But anyways, so who, I didn't catch who else was in here.
Yeah, this is KDA-EEE again. Maybe your router is blocking your traffic. Sometimes you got to open a port on your router.
No, that shouldn't be an issue. I think I have that set up right. Because it's working before and I haven't changed anything in the router.
All right, well, I'm out of ideas.
Oh, well, I'll keep plugging away. I'll probably figure out something eventually. All right. Catch you later. Thanks for the whatever input you gave me. Narrows things down. At least I know I'm on doing the right steps. All right. Over you, Dave, and then I'm out. KPR.
All right, good luck. Catch you later, Cafita.
Hey, Dave, are you still there? Can you listen on statewide, too?
I can try, but I'm in Warren, so I don't know if I'll hear it. Give me a moment.
I can help if you need it. I'm sorry, what was that?
I said I can also help if you need it. I'm at my office.
Okay, I want to make sure this Anytone's working on just a repeater without a hotspot. So I'm going to give out a call on Statewide 2 through Detroit, see if I make it.
I got some duties to do, so, but I'll be listening.
Okay, well, I just transmitted. Anybody hear anything?
I did not.
Can you transmit a statewide, too? Let me see what I hear. It's coming back. Getting channel busy. Hold on. Did you copy me that time?
All right, Phil. I got a handy jockey here. I don't have the right talk group set in this radio. I'll try it again. It's going to show W8MAC as the ID.
Okay, well, I'm trying to go through Novi right now. Statewide 2. I got the permit tone, but I don't know if you heard me.
So I was able to hear you and Wally both. Okay, yes, okay.
Okay, very good. All right, that answers that question. So I know it's not the radio. What was that, Wally?
You have to have Brandmeister set up for 3104 on the 5-1 system. There's a glitch on Brandmeister that the statewide 5-1 system will only work on 3104.
Yeah, I'm using 3104, but the problem is my hotspot is not hearing my radio. I don't know why.
Well, that shouldn't be that hard for a guy like you to figure out.
You would think.
All right, well, you will get it. I am sure of it.
Yeah, I hope so. I just don't know why it's not cooperating with me at the moment. Anyways, any moment now, I should be getting that in the replay. My VHF, Kenwood, is coming. That's a identical to my UHF one in the car, so I'm going to throw that in there and try out the VHF side of things on the P25.
Sounds like fun. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, all the basic stuff, and, you know, you could check the tuning on the radios. You know how to do that on the Grandmeister side of things, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, checking the BER, but it's strange when I do that. It's kind of erratic. It's not a smooth line. It's like it looks like a mountain peaks. The error rate's low, but it's like up and down.
It's probably the hat. I got the really good hat, one from that 90s guy. I forgot its call sign. But that one is, like, frequency stable.
Yeah, that's possible. That's true. All right, let you guys go. I think you doubled Dave with Wally. I don't know, but you won. Did you under there, Wally?
Yeah, still see you at 6 o'clock, right?
Roger. Looking forward to it. See you then. KPR.
KPR.
Hey,
Phil. Yes, sir.
Your error rate was, your RSSI was negative 120, 25% error rate, two times into the Detroit area. And then the next two times, you were right, you're not in there good when you're on the Detroit one. When you're hitting Nova, you're at 109 with zero error rate.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I was just standing out in my backyard.
Yeah, you know this website. You're familiar with it? I can text you the link.
I think I know which one you're talking about, but send it to me anyways. It may be maybe a better one.
Yeah, that way you can look and see how you do. All right, I'll text it to you.
Roger. Hey, Peter.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
RJ08, Fox Trot, leave me Yankee Radio.
Connected to CMN Network.
Do you copy? KF8,
KGVA. This is KF8FGS calling. No response to KF8GVA. KF8FGS monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KCHOJL.
Good afternoon, Cujo. This is KF8FGS.
How's it going? On my way back from Flint, Bishop Airport, on Dakota's All-Star Node, giving a little bit of a warm-up time here.
Yeah, roger that. I'm on the way back to Utica from St. Clair. I had a boiler job the last couple days, so I'm glad that's done. On the way home from there, I'm feeling it today.
Oh, yeah, my co-worker and I were feeling it today from yesterday. Started in Sheboygan, ended up in Petoskey, and then drove home, being at home till about 9 o'clock last night. And then today, had lift work and camera work and everything else like that, so a little bit beat up.
Yeah, roger that on beat up. Yeah, it's been a while since I had a nice job like this one. But as long as when you leave, everything is percolating along, everybody's happy. Well, I guess long as the cameras light up, everybody's happy.
Yeah, there's some old school, so they're analog CNCs. And cameras on one end of the building, and the other end is where the power supply is at. You gotta kind of squeeze your way in underneath the cabinet there to get to it. While he was up on the lift outside, I was at the power supply, finding out which one it was. And it's a freight building. So, got enough doors on it. Gonna go up and walk across those stupid elevated platforms that have the rollers all over it. So you get to walk around those and make sure you don't step on one and go flying. And then walking down and walking on it. It's about the size of a football field.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to do it. Might as well be you. I know I always seem to get, I definitely let somebody else do the outside work today, even if I did have to crawl through cabinetry, but that's what plumbers do, too, to do a lot of that, too. Crawl through cabinetry and what have you, and do that, or I've worked a lot of server rooms putting in those mini-split systems, air conditioning. And it's tight. Everything is tight in those rooms. KF8FGS, back to you.
Oh, yeah. Some of those areas are, you know, a little bit more squished than others. But we got it done. We usually do.
Well, that's because you're professionals. You're not just, you know, somebody that knows how to pull wires. You guys got it together. But it's a lot of glass time. That's a lot of glass time, though. I get maybe hour and a half of glass time, you know, to get to a job, but not 3 and 4 hours. That's pretty rough.
Yeah, usually when we're a little bit more energetic, we don't mind it at all. You know, so we get the overtime where we can grab it, and we just do what we need to do. You know, take care of the customer. That's our number one priority. You don't care where it's at, let's just go take care of them. Especially when we're waiting 1 or 2 weeks for service because there's nobody available. So we grab it, we take care of it.
Yeah, roger that. I've done the same thing. In the summertime, for me, it's air conditioning calls. In the wintertime, it's heating and boilers and what have you. So, yeah, when it's,
when the customer, you know, like at the bank or something, and it's starting to get hot, and their server room's starting to overheat, and they get all scared. And I had contracts where I had a 2-hour show-up time. That was sometimes kind of rough to get to some of the jobs. But we seem to overcome one way or the other. Keep the customer happy. And if you have to spend the night on a 2-day job, you just spend the night. I've more than once taken the per diem and slept in my truck.
Yeah, we got reimbursed for overnight stays. I mean, we just did one earlier this year in Petoskey. We had 109 cameras we had to update. And that's been a majority of them one day. And then we stayed the night, went back early the next day, you know, at the crack of dawn, and got the rest of them done. And then we hightailed it out of there.
Well, roger that. Yeah, we used to, on those out-of-towners like that, we'd work a 12-hour day and to get as much done as possible so we could leave, you know, by noon or 1 o'clock the following day. But they always gave us the choice of the per diem or they would give us a room. So I would say, well, just give me the per diem. And then if I felt that, you know, I needed a shower or something, well, I'd get, you know, some little no-tell motel. And I'd get a room for the night. And but quite often we would just take the per diem, and I'd slip on the job site a time or two. So one way or the other, last time is last time, overtime is overtime.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's good with us. You know, we left there like 7:30 yesterday morning. We got up there about 10 minutes o'clock. And that was the only run we had. And I'm like, hey, it was just rough here. We're 20 minutes away from the bus. You know, let's go fix that camera that we've been waiting to do. Since they'll put a snow up there. So ended up grabbing a tractor supply, you know, a couple miles north of it. Did that. Got down to the hospital. Got in there. Got it changed. Got new connections put on the GAD-5 and got it working, and then found another one.
Oh, yeah. When you start getting into it, and you're going to find, you fix one thing, you find another problem. I think I'm going to have to switch to the, I was on the Richmond repeater. I'm going to switch to Mount Clemens. Start a loose signal here. I'll be right back.
All right,
Casey,
they do. That is terrible, Dave. Yeah, nothing. Either try Warren or go back to Richmond. Casey, they do.
Hey, Tom, you went over to the Mecca, but I don't know if you have that. N-A-W-R-O.
Yeah, I got Mecca. I can try it. Sometimes it's a little sporadic over here by Bell River. KF8FGS, KCXKGO.
KF8FGS, go ahead, Cujo. I hope this sounds a little better.
I got some scratching in there, but you're readable.
Oh, thank you again. Same, I got this popcorn going on with you, but one way or the other, you're fully readable. I'm going to have to say 73. It's nice talking with you, and maybe we'll hear you on the Thursday night now. AF8FGS. We'll be monitoring and on the phone.
Sounds good. I'm about to head my home QTH as well. So have an enjoyable evening and we'll chat tomorrow sometime. 73 from KCH KJO.
connected to CMN Network.
W8FU.
Okay, Pierre.
Good afternoon, birthday boy. I am about 13 minutes out, according to Ford Motor Company and my Android device.
Okay, well, you're ahead of us. I'm going to be there right on time, pretty much. Unless there's some big snafu on the road, but according to Waze, there should be right on time.
Righty, yeah, I didn't know what it was going to take, you know, with the traffic and everything, so we took off about a quarter after, and it's actually about 20 after. I was surprised when I hit the road and it said 19 minutes away.
Yeah, for some reason I kept thinking this was a Saturday, and I figured, oh, there won't be traffic, and Debbie reminded me. Yeah, there's traffic. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. It's Tuesday.
That's what it's like getting old. You can't remember what day it is.
What's for my labeling on my pillbox there? I probably wouldn't know it all. All right, well, we're just zipping through Pontiac here. Take a little detour traffic back up one way, going another.
Alrighty, who are the reservations made under?
I think Wally. You know what, I didn't look at it that closely.
I'll try both. I know it wasn't me, so we'll figure it out. All right, little crackly there. We'll see you when you get here. W8FU.
M0RLK is listening through Kilo 8 Foxtrot Bravo India. Mike 0 Romeo Lima Kilo is listening for any calls and bye, over.
You're connected to CMN Network.
M0RLK is listening for any calls. This is Mike 0 in Southwest UK. Listening for any calls. Mike 0 Romeo Lima Kilo. Standing by, over.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. connected to CMN Network.